have led me from the fire, darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Goodness of God. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. Good to see you all here, and thank you. This is Tim Barreto. He's with Kingdom Boundaries Prison Aftercare Ministries in Sioux Falls, and so we're blessed to have him lead that part of our service this morning. So just a few announcements that I need to go over before we go on with our service. First, a big thank you. If you came in the front entrance, you saw the fall decorations outside there. If you didn't come in the front entrance, maybe you should leave that way and walk around to where you're parked, because it's really beautiful. So thanks to Shirley Mettler and Mary Lee Houck, Pat Palmerville, and Jennifer Herbolt for doing that yesterday. It's very nice. A couple other announcements. Today is our Mission Fest Sunday. So you see in the bulletin there, the offering is designated. 90% of it will go towards Kingdom Boundaries in their ministry. The other 10% will go here for our FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Menno High School. Also, we have potluck dinner after church, so whether you brought anything or not, that's totally fine. We always have enough, and we hope that you would stay for lunch with some good food. One other thing about the offering, there is an anonymous donor that has said, a couple, that they will match any gifts that are given. If the gift is $1,000 or more, those will be matched up to $5,000 total. So that's very generous. We hope that we'll be able to bless Kingdom Boundaries in a good way today through that offering. Also, this coming Saturday night, you need to set your clocks back an hour. Daylight savings time ends, so please remember to do that. We'll send out the prayer chain reminder probably on Saturday, just in case. Soup kitchen, that's coming up here the first Saturday in December, which is December 3rd. Those sign-up sheets in the bulletin, it says they're in the social hall, but because of the potluck dinner, they are in the narthex right out here. A lot of mission work. The women do a lot of mission work from the donations from that day. So takes everybody all working together. There's some options, one page of options for sure for the men to sign up. And of course, the shifts that need to be worked, you're welcome to sign up there. There's spots there for the fourth through eighth graders to help clearing the tables. So take a look at those if you have not. Last announcement I wanted to mention here is the SDSU Concert Choir, which Caden Fisher is a member of that in his sophomore year up there at Brookings. They're going to be doing a concert over in Tripp this Wednesday night at the Freedons Reformed Church at 7 o'clock, no charge. If you want to hear, if you like to hear a 70-voice college choir, that is your chance. It will be amazing. I'm trying to think of the title of the concert. It's on the poster out there. All Creation Sings His Praise, something like that. So really, it'd be very, very good. The rest of the announcements, I'll let you read as you have time. So let's bow our heads in prayer this morning, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day that you have blessed us with. On October 30th, glorious, wonderful temperatures, but Father, most of all, being here in your sanctuary, in your presence, there is nothing better. For as David said in the Psalms, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And there is nothing better, Father, than coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ and sitting here and standing in your presence and singing your praises and listening to your word and listening to what will be shared this morning from the Ministry of Kingdom Boundaries. So we just lift our hearts, our minds, our voices to you before your throne as we ask, Father, that you would fill this sanctuary with your glory and your power and your presence and work in our lives and fill us afresh today with the Holy Spirit of God as we go out into our world, that you would shine through us, that we would be salt and light to all the places that we go this week. Thank you for your goodness, for as we've just sang, all of our lives you have been faithful, for you are the faithful one. That's part of your character, of who you are, and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our opening hymn is number 151. If you're aware of it or not, today would be what we call Reformation Sunday, which 505 years ago it was, on October 31st, that the day marked when Martin Luther nailed those theses to the door of that church over there in Germany. And so began the Reformation. So let's stand and sing this 151, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right men on our side, Amen. Some amazing theology and truth in all of those verses. I love that end of the third verse where it says, one little word shall fell him. Him is the devil. One little word from God is more than enough to resist him. That's how Jesus resisted him. Well, take a moment before you're seated and greet those around you, please. Give me knuckles. Oh. There you go. They don't know quite what to do. Good. Good morning. Oh, you want to shake? All right. Well, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. We got an excited bunch of kids up here ready to sing for us in a little bit. So that's exciting. Couple things, though, that I have down. First of all, Lee Herbolt had his knee replaced this last Tuesday, and it went well, and he's recovering at home. I don't think they're here today that I saw, but prayers for Lee. Also, Ashley Holsworth, who is here, had her shoulder repaired this last Thursday, and so she's coming along, and continued prayers for them during that time. Also, Marjorie Zabe, I heard it was her birthday today, but I'm not sure if she's back there. No, so if you see her, and did you have something, Kenneth, to tell me?
It's Grandpa's birthday.
It is David Sumire, Grandpa's birthday today also. Happy birthday, Dave. Okay. You have a birthday?
Yeah.
When is it?
Couple
weeks? Okay. Bentley says he's got a birthday. Okay. They're telling me all their costumes for tomorrow. Okay. Just continued prayers for Ken Winterstein and others, Jan Nebelsek in their cancer treatments, and certainly Bill Headley, Bill and Judy, Bill's ongoing dialysis 3 days a week down to Yankton. Anything else on this side over here? Is that Kaylee? Okay. Tomorrow is Janae McCoy's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Janae. Okay. Over here. All right. Well, I know tomorrow is Josh, are you here? Will Coxon? I thought I saw him. He's here somewhere. Well, tomorrow is Josh and Amanda's wedding anniversary. So when you do a wedding on Halloween, that just sort of sticks in your mind, right? Yes. Happy anniversary to them. Okay, let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Father, we thank you for just the excitement up here among these children. Lord, it's as you said that we enter the kingdom of God with faith as a little child. They're just so open and trusting in you and your word, and the joy of the Lord in them is their strength. And so we thank you for them and for those that work with them and teach them Sunday after Sunday school and in the choir and in their Sunday school classes. We thank you for birthdays that have been mentioned here and anniversaries, and ask your blessings upon each of these individuals. Lord, we want to pray for Lee Herbolt and Ashley Holsworth, especially as they're recovering from their surgeries this last week. Thank you, Jesus, for taking hold in those situations and working through the doctors and nurses and your healing power working mightily in them now in this recovery time. I want to lift up Sharon Houck. I didn't mention her before, but Sharon, Verlin's wife, not doing so well physically. We just pray for her as well and the family, and ask that you hold them in your loving and your everlasting arms, Lord Jesus. We pray for those who are undergoing cancer treatments and the challenges that can present. But Lord, we know that you are greater than all, and our faith is in you, our eyes are upon you, and we thank you for walking with these individuals and families through these times, whether it's that, whether it's dialysis, or various other things. Father, you know the need for rain as we're coming into the winter season. The ground is so parched and dry. We ask for moisture before it all freezes up. Thank you for allowing most of the harvest to be brought in. Lord, what was out there, not as great as usual, but still something there. As we pray for our harvest, naturally, Lord, spiritually our nation is all the more dry and parched. And you know that. And we are in a desperate situation spiritually across this nation. And we continue to lift that before you, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit, the latter rain of the Holy Spirit of God, that you would sweep across this land and turn hearts and minds that have seemed to be closed to you, that their eyes of their understanding would be opened to see, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, Lord, for the elections coming up here in just over a week, asking for your will to be done throughout all 50 states in our nation, so that righteousness and godliness and truth could prevail in the decisions nationally and in our state level. We lift that to you. Thank you, Lord, for our troops serving so faithfully, giving of their lives to serve in our military, many full-time, many part-time, at home and overseas. We think of them all, especially as we draw near to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and those that will be away from their families. Just comfort them through this time and keep them safe, we ask. Lord, even right here in our own congregation, I want to lift up Julie Auk, and she's in Yankton County, but running for an office in Pierre, and thank you for her courage to do that. We ask your blessing upon her with the elections coming. Lord, for all these things, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we praise you for the answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Matthew 28 here, the last verses. This is the Great Commission. This is our Mission Fest Sunday, and we're excited to hear from Tim Wendt in a little bit. You know these verses well, you should, as before Jesus ascends into heaven. Then Jesus came and said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go," it's us, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So we have the offering box in back. Most all of you know that. Some might be visiting, but the checks can just be made to the church if that's how you're giving, and then we give one check, send it up to Kingdom Boundaries this next week. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Father, we do praise you. Thank you for this opportunity to sow into the lives of others. Jesus, we think of in the Gospels, the time when you said to the people, "I was in prison and you came to visit me." And their answer was, "When did we do that, Lord?" And you said, "As much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And so we thank you for these men with us today, ministering at Kingdom Boundaries, helping these men and soon-to-be women that coming out of prison to get established in their lives. We thank you for the opportunity to sow into this work generously today into this ministry, and we do it with joy. We ask that you multiply these gifts for that work and the ministry of our FCA here at Menno High School. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Cherub Choir is going to sing for us here first, a couple songs, and Deb Schmidt and Mick Huber are the ones who work with these kids. These are aged 3 years up through third grade.
Thank you. was just wonderful. That want to come,
other kids that want to come up for Kingdom Kids time, you sure can. Thank you, Deb and Mick. Yes. That was beautiful.
You all did great. Good. Where'd I get this from? I got it from the sound booth back there. Well, today we're talking about Mission Fest Sunday. Good. You can give that to Johnny later. Okay, listen. Okay, good. Come by our house, all right? Well, today is Mission Fest Sunday. Why do we call this today Mission Fest Sunday, Branson? Do you know why? Somebody comes from a mission, right? And they tell us all about where they feel God has sent them. And they tell us all about it, and we have a chance to give our money to them and our prayers to them, right? So what are missions? What's missions? Annabeth? Well, missions are, let's see, you're nice, right? We want to be nice, but what else? Somebody else? Like a missionary. Do you have something? Okay, well, a mission is a place where we go and we tell people. It says here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So where are we supposed to go? Everywhere. What are we supposed to do? Preach the gospel. What does that mean, preach the gospel? What are we supposed to tell people? Tell people about God. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that he loves them so much and he died for them. And so where are some mission places? Like today, yeah, we tell them about Jesus. Our speaker, Tim, is going to tell us all about prisons and being in prison and how people can go there and tell them about Jesus. What are some different ones besides prison ministry? Around the world, missionaries around the world, like in different countries. Like, are any of you making a Christmas box and filling it? That's like, if you do that, that's like doing a mission, because you're filling that with really cool things for another child in another country and also praying for them and telling them about the gospel, right? So what are some things we tell people? We tell them that Jesus loves them, God loves them, that they can live in heaven if they accept Jesus. All of these things, right? Well, this is kind of what I think about when I listen to that, go into the whole world. So these fifth graders are going to help me. I want you to blow this up, but don't let go of it until I tell you. Here, hand it to them. You're going to get one after, okay? Oh, here, you girls, come here. Wait, that one's mine because I already put my mouth on it. You're going to get one in just a minute, okay? So this is what, when Jesus says go everywhere, this is kind of what I think he wants us to do as boys and girls. Because right now, are you going to go be a missionary? Probably not yet, right? You're going to get one in just a second, okay? So watch. Blow them up. And when I say three, let go. You got them blown up? All right. Stretch it a little bit. Give it all you got. All right, try again. Ready? Here we go. Hold on. Oh, she got it. She got it. Blow, 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 blow. Hard, 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 hard. Okay, that's a good. Hold it. And now when I say one, two, three, we're going to let go of it, right? We're going to see where this balloon goes, because this balloon is like you and me. All right? Ready? One, two, three, go. Whoa! Whoa! Well, that one went right there. That one went right there by Drew. That balloon went right there. So that could be somewhere that's close to us, like somebody in our class maybe that doesn't know Jesus. You could tell them that he loves you. This one went right here in front of us. Like, that could be in your own town maybe. Somebody close that you live by, maybe a neighbor. They don't know Jesus or they don't go to church. You could go and tell them. And that other one went a little further away, so that could be like maybe the Christmas. Oh, yours went way over there? Okay, let me talk about this one. This one could be right here where, you have a relative somewhere far away or in another town that you know of. And when you get older, you go to sports and you play other towns. Maybe there's someone there that you're going to tell them about Jesus. And that other one went way over there. That could be like your Christmas box that you can all do. Tell your parents you want to fill a Christmas box. And you fill it with toys and your prayers, and it goes somewhere over in another country. And they learn about God's love for them. Because somebody here cared so much for them, they sent them gifts. Okay? So wherever you go, you can tell others about who?
Jesus.
About Jesus and about the gospel, okay? Let's pray, and then I will give each one of you a balloon. But you cannot blow it up during church. Or that would be very distracting for Tim, who's gonna be telling us about prison ministry and aftercare. So you hold on to that until afterwards, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that all of these boys and girls you've given us, and what a privilege for us to have them in our church. We love them so much. Help them to know that the Great Commission is for them too, that wherever they go, wherever they are, they can tell others about you. Bless them this week, Father. Keep them safe tomorrow night. In Jesus' name we pray.
Okay, thank you, Ann. Tim, if you want to come down, please. So we're very blessed to have Tim Wendt here with us from Kingdom Boundaries, as you know. When you go right out of the sanctuary and look on the bulletin board on your left, there is one of his college certificates. Did you know that's hanging there? Yeah. I'm not sure if it's from Moody Bible Institute. We helped him get 2 degrees while he was down at Springfield. One was from Moody Bible Institute, and the other was from Christian Bible College. So if you don't have a copy of that, you better take it. We better give it to you. Anyway, so we're blessed to have Tim. God's doing amazing things through that ministry. So thanks for being here and sharing with us.
Good morning. This is the day that God has made, right? Amen. And we shall be glad in it. Beautiful ride out here today from Sioux Falls, and it was just lovely, and we had a good time coming down. My wife's in the back. I asked JP where he wanted to sit, and he picked the back row, so that's where we're at. Didn't do that on purpose necessarily. But glad to be here, and thanks so much for the opportunity to let you know what's going on at Kingdom Boundaries. And that place has been a blessing to me, and we just continue to listen to what God would have us do so that we can keep that going forward. Great commission, absolutely. You know, when you study that out, as I did at Moody Bible, after my 5th English class, I don't know if there's any English major teachers in here, but I never did really well with that subject in high school. And then when I got to college, I struggled even more. But one of the things we find out when you do this, what they call a grammatical study of a verse, is it kind of gives you an idea to the interpretation of it and then ultimately the application. That sound about right? Well, what I found in that Great Commission is it's full of verbs, helping verbs like go and baptize and all that kind of stuff. And I think the technical name is an adverbial participle. I thought that was something extra that hung off your body. I didn't know what that was when I first read about that. But they're helping verbs, and the main verb in that passage is to make disciples. And at Kingdom Boundaries, that's what we're all about, is continuing that process of making disciples for the guys who have had a little bit of that experience, have heard the gospel, have maybe made some changes, but still need that final transition into the culture that we now live in. So we work really hard with continuing that discipleship process. For some guys, that's the first time they've heard the gospel. Not too often that happens, but it does. We just had a gentleman here not too long ago that was a practicing Muslim, and he converted to Christianity, praise God. And so he is now a brother in Christ, and he still struggles with some things, but that's just a part of the process sometimes. So I would encourage you to take a look at Matthew 28 and see where the making disciples part fits into your calling from God. I think the title that you gave us on the bulletin was Am I My Brother's Keeper? And I'm not going to give you a well-outlined sermon this morning, but I'm going to talk a little bit about that, though, because one of the things that is different from Kingdom Boundaries than other halfway houses or transitional homes is we have an accountability model that the guys participate in. And they agree to that before they ever come. Our director goes into the prisons and sometimes spends many months visiting with these men before they get out, just so that they're aware of what we are doing and seeing if they're going to be a good fit for that, if they're ready to commit to that, and that type of thing. But for those of you that not sure where you've heard that statement before, it's way back in the beginning, and back in Genesis chapter 4, if you remember, if you want to take a look at that later, but Genesis 4, it talks about Cain and Abel, and Cain slew his brother Abel over some bad feelings with him and with God. Take a look at that. But at one point, after Cain had murdered his brother Abel, God was questioning what was going on there, and Cain, in a rather cynical, kind of an excuse, kind of hopeful thing, really it was a rhetorical question because Cain knew the answer, but he just didn't want to admit it. But he said, what, am I my brother's keeper? Like that was going to let him off the hook or something, you know? Interesting, you know, I was thinking about that verse, and the more I thought about it, the question came to mind, who was Cain's brother's keeper? Who was holding Cain accountable? And I'm not letting Cain off the hook for what he did here, but what happened? Did Adam not hold his son accountable in the way that a sacrifice should be made that was acceptable unto God? What about Abel? I mean, it doesn't say in the scripture exactly, you know, whether they both had this sacrifice at the same time, although we could assume maybe they did, I don't know. But nonetheless, somebody could have pulled Cain aside on his way to leave an offering to God that wasn't acceptable. Somebody could have said, Cain, you know that's not the right sacrifice to bring. And if it would have been Abel, maybe Abel could have gave him what he was bringing, and Abel could have went and got another one out of the flock. I don't know what actually could have happened, but obviously it didn't happen. Or at least the potential understanding of that passage is there, that someone didn't hold Cain accountable, and it led to murder. We have found over and over that when we do not hold people accountable, whether it be in the church, whether it be at Kingdom Boundaries, whether it be in prison, no matter where it is, we have a natural tendency to kind of drift the wrong way sometimes. And what I'm going to share with you is certainly don't take it as a knock against the church that I grew up in. A very Christ-loving church, Baptist church back in Belfouche, South Dakota, if you know where that's at. Their pastor's name is Tim right now as well. So there's a lot of Tims all over the place. I got a Tim over here and a Tim here. But what was interesting about that is I had a lot of godly family around me, but I grew up in that church. And as I got into high school, I began making who was in the Bible study group this morning? Raise your hands. Okay. I owe you an apology for not being one of the people in my generation that was a good example for what you should and shouldn't do. And I'm sorry that I didn't do that well, but I know really well what's the right thing and the wrong thing today. So I just want to put that out there. But something happened in my high school years. This is back in the 70s, early 70s, and there was a kind of a new way of thinking going on around there. I think there is with every generation to some degree. But it was different, I think, than the ones over the last 10 years before that, and the generation before that, and the generation before that. And needless to say, I wasn't walking the right walk as a believer in Christ should. Now, nobody came to me from the church and said, Tim, what are you doing? You know, do you think that's right? I mean, they could have employed a few tactics to include referring to my grandmother. She had me by the ear most of the time, and I listened to her. They could have invoked a few strategies there. That never happened. And again, I'm not blaming them because I'm sure most of the time I was kind of out of the limelight a little bit on purpose so that somebody wouldn't come talk to me because I wasn't very available. I wasn't that type of a thing. But I do know, though, that there would have been some sort of positive response from myself had the elders of a church came and seen me and said, we're here to hold you accountable. Again, not an excuse for what happened. I made my own choices, but I think there was something to be learned there. So at Kingdom Boundaries, we are very proactive in the accountability. Our program is what we call a covenant agreement. They sign that. They look at it probably four or five times before they ever get to Kingdom Boundaries. And it is nothing but boundaries and guidelines or guardrails or whatever you want to call them, but they're all based off of biblical principles. And as time goes on there, we usually get around to explaining them where that came from, you know. Holding each other accountable. Well, we go now into the New Testament in Galatians chapter 6, in the very first part of that. It talks about how if you see a brother who is falling or who is going the wrong direction, it says those who are spiritual or those who are mature, go and correct them. It's pretty plain what we're supposed to do. But it also says, but be careful. And if you're not mature and you're going in to help somebody, maybe you have the same problem, and then before you know it, both of you had walked into the woods and lost your way. But the idea of accountability is biblical. It runs all the way from the beginning of the book of the Bible, all the way through and into the end. There's always an accountability principle being taught to us and given to us. And of course, you know, it's only Christ or a relationship with Christ that can enable a person to do the right thing consistently. You can do it without for a little bit, but you get a little tired of that, and pretty soon you self-destruct, and it doesn't work. So that's what I would share to you, you know, out of the scriptures concerning accountability. And I would just ask that, you know, no matter where you've been called in your ministry of reconciliation, we're all ministers of reconciliation, by the way. We are all of that. So wherever God has called you to work in that area, you know, just always be thinking about discipling. I had a man in federal prison who mentored me and took me aside and helped finish up what needed to be polished there a little bit. And still an influence in my life. I just talked to him yesterday on the phone. We speak at least once a week. He was in prison as well. He's done amazingly well. God has blessed him for his faithfulness. And I think he employs 30-some people today. That's Richard. I would just have you, you know, take a look at our new vision that's out. You'll see it up on the little posters out there. There's a rendition of the new building that we are now in the middle, or just getting started with a capital campaign to raise funds to build that. We consistently are running out of space where we're currently at in Sioux Falls. To emphasize that, or to illustrate that, I gotta, you know, we're even getting calls nationwide now. We have a phone interview with a gentleman from Georgia next Monday, or this coming Monday, another one from Rapid City, and then we have had a gentleman that was trying to get to Kingdom Boundaries from Florida. He wants to come work on a farm. He wants to get away from the craziness. I said, I think we could probably find somebody that could use some help. And the unfortunate thing with Eddie is at the time that he was trying to get the Kingdom Boundaries, we didn't have any openings. And we probably weren't going to have any for quite some time. Well, the Department of Corrections in Florida, like others, sometimes they don't always stick to the plan. They let the guy out about 2 months earlier than what they were supposed to, so we didn't even have an opportunity to try to help him. And he kept calling every week. He kept calling every week. From his application, from what we can see, he came to know the Lord while he was in prison, but he knew he needed a change of environment. He knew he needed someplace to go, and he knew that he needed some structure. Well, we didn't have any space for him. And I haven't heard from Eddie now for about a month, so that's not usually a good sign. I hope he's doing well. I hope something happened good for him there in Florida, but we really are looking forward to being able to have a little more room, a little more flexibility, designed in a way so that the guys are struggling with alcohol and drugs. We can be a little more in-house helpful with them and keep them at, you know, in Kingdom Boundaries while they're going through that issue. Right now, oftentimes, they can't be at Kingdom Boundaries because we just don't have, it's the buildings, the administration, everything that we have in place, it's hard to support someone going through an active relapse with meth or other drugs. And man, if you want something to pray about, you pray about Satan being disabled and that stronghold of meth being broken, because when people use that substance, that is about as demonic as it gets. I would have to say any substance is to some degree, but wow, it's a huge spiritual attack, and a lot of them just can't seem to get out of it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And we have to be able to, you know, work with these guys, and we're just not really set up for it administratively-wise, logistical-wise, with needing some safe rooms that we can work with these guys. So they wind up sometimes being rearrested. We do have a few facilities that will work with them in Sioux Falls, but anyway, so those are some things, some challenges that we have. But our vision is to continue to move forward and helping more inmates coming out of prison. You know, we work with them on every level, to include showing them how to budget their money and keep a check register. 90% of them don't have a clue on how they do that. Tim deals with that about 3 times a week when they do 5 days a week. Yeah, banking days are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Kingdom Boundaries, but it usually turns in the 7 days a week. They think the banks are open on Sunday, too, sometimes. I figured that out. But But they need to go to Tim or one of the staff members, and they need to tell us how much is in their account, and then we'll verify that. And once that all gets taken care of, then whatever withdrawals they need to make, they can. And then, but they're duly noted in their monthly budget so that they have some idea on how to budget their money, because getting in a financial bind oftentimes will trigger a relapse or going back to some old behavior that is not healthy or maybe not even legal for that matter. So I just want to say too, and I want to thank you for being such a positive impact in my life, your prison ministry team that spent all those years going into the prisons and working with inmates like myself that were there. What a lesson in faithfulness to see these folks coming into the prison when in the middle of a blizzard or something, and there they were, they showed up, and they had things to do with their family. Having a family now and being responsible and enjoying to spend time with them, I know what that's like to have to not be there, because I get a call at 2 a.m. from Kingdom Boundaries and says, Tim, do you know what's going on? So off we go sometimes. But so they made a huge sacrifice coming to see us. And I just want you all to know, though, that their work is coming into fruition. And there's a lot of guys coming out of there that have been impacted by that ministry that are doing very, very well. We have a lot of success stories. We got more that are on their way out. I just shared with the Bible study group this morning. We have a gentleman who I taught him everything I know. That took about 5 minutes. And then he got the rest of it on his own. But so keep Steve Harrison in your prayers. He is an ordained pastor. He did all of that business through different avenues and different organizations and studies and whatnot some time ago, and he is now getting out of prison as well. And he made some drastic transformations in his life. He's going to be joining us at Kingdom Boundaries. His out date is what we call it, or it's the release date that you get when you finally get to leave prison. It's January 1st of 2023, so what a day that is. But I'm looking forward to Steve joining us. He's going to help in the ministry. He's got to go find a job, and he's going to kind of support himself for a while. We do that even with, I did that with myself. We just kind of go through the whole process, and then if we're called to help in additional ministry work, like Tim over there, he quits his job and he works for Peanuts, and yeah, there you go. But he's over there helping us too. But keep Steve in prayers, because he's anxious. He's got a lot of anxiety, and he'll do well. I know he will, but it's going to be a challenge. And he has a lot of family support, but he still saw the need to go back into a structured society that had Christ at the center of each and everything we do. We don't do it perfectly, right? But we keep looking and focusing on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you again for this day. We thank you for your calling for all of us to be ministers of reconciliation, and that reconciliation starting with showing people how to come and have a relationship with you, learn how that you love them, and learn about your grace and your mercy and the opportunity that you give each and every one of us each day to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a joy. I got to know Tim when he was down there at Springfield, and there was some years back before COVID where Ron Schaefer was coordinating. We had several men from the church who were working as mentors as some of the guys were coming out of Springfield, and which was a great experience, and it's a great joy to have these guys here with us today and see what God's doing. If you didn't look already, you can read through that bulletin insert that gives a lot of statistics. It shows a drawing of the house. That's their goal. They have the land dedicated, and as Tim said, now they're in the fundraising part of it, which is what we get to be a part of these guys. Steve, that he spoke of, who's getting out on January 1st, I had the joy of meeting him as well down there. So, praise the Lord for what he's doing. And thank you both for being here with us, and Tim, your family. I wondered why you were in the back row, but thanks, JP. All right. We're going to sing our closing hymn, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, number 503. That speaks to it very, very well, of the change that Christ makes in all of our hearts. We have to have his power in our lives. Otherwise, we're lost. We are lost. Let's stand. 503, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Let's sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America. just have a prayer for the meal, please, before you're seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Again, thank you for this ministry of Kingdom Boundaries and the seed that is being sown here by all of us. Lord, we ask that you bless our time of dinner now for all that have prepared food of various items to bless us. We ask that you would bless this food to the strength and nourishment of our bodies. Bless our time of fellowship as we sit together over this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If there's some of the older ones that in line, you know,